Oh, there have been a lot of dates recently. We had the eclipse and the 50th, was it the 50th Jubilee? And it was like 40 days after something that it was that day, right? Well, I remember a book in 1987 that said there were 87 reasons why Christ was coming that year, you know? And of course, that would be great. I mean, along with John and Revelation, we say, Maranatha, Lord, please come. Please come soon. And yet, the Bible says no man can know the day or the hour. And I was talking to somebody and they said, yeah, there's always people put a date on the end of the world. And he said it never happens. And that's the purpose of those false teachers that try to nail a date. Now, we can know the times and the seasons. And the Bible has never missed any prophecy. So don't misunderstand that there are things that are going to come true no matter what anybody says. And the chaos that we see in the world, it's going to get more chaotic before it's over. And if you're not prepared, and as a Christian, if you're not discipled, and as a person, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, it's going to be bad for you. And the gospel has hope. And we see that in the First Thessalonian church, in the Thessalonican church. Now, just a little bit of context. The Apostle Paul, who was one who was called by Christ to spread the gospel and plant churches, in Acts chapter 16, there was a man appeared unto him and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And it was a calling from God for him to go. And then there was a lot of persecution. They were jailed. They were beaten on the way to getting there and working there. And one of the greatest verses in the book of Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He said that in a persecuted situation. And this is the context of this church getting started. Now, like I said, this is one of the first letters written, one of the first books of the Bible, the New Testament, written down. It was written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the others, we believe. And so it's very important that we take notice of it. Now here's just a map of the at the Roman Empire time where the Thessalonican church was. It was in Macedonia and called Achaia area. And that when the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica, he also went on to other places there, Berea, Athens, Corinth, in your Bible, the Corinthian. The book of Corinthians is there. Even before he got to Thessalonica, it was Philippi in the Philippines. Philippians book of the Bible. And then, of course, this is just a map. So you could see all the cities. There's a little diamond shape there where Thessalonica is. And there is a huge area here. And this church spread the gospel through that whole area. We'll see what that was all about. And, of course, these days, we can get a satellite shot from Google to see. I want you to know, it's a real place. You know, when you read these stories in the Bible, it's about real places and real people. Now, how to make an impact for Christ. So what I want to do is look at these verses of Scripture. They need a lot more time and study. I'm going to ask you to just write down a key word from that verse and a key principle and element in there, and then further study Thessalonians, if you would. So first of all, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silas and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, just simply, look at the teamwork involved there. To make an impact for Christ, we're going to need to work together. It was Paul's church planning team. And then the church at Thessalonica, as he's writing back to them after the work they had done had been completed. And then it's God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what it is. It's us working together with God's direction. And this church is going to show us how to make an impact. And the first thing he does is address all of those that are involved. Now, the Apostle Paul, he always went with a team everywhere he went in starting churches. It's a principle for church planning. And he went to Berea, and they were faithful there. They wanted to study God's word, but he sent the team to a different place, and he went to Athens by himself. And in Athens, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, Even some people responded, but no church was established. In fact, in church history, Athens has never really been a great place for the gospel, never really any great churches, never any effective churches. And I think the Lord is just trying to show us, look, us working together as a team is important. Maybe you attend this church. Maybe you attend it just on Sundays. Maybe it's something you enjoy and everything that the Word of God has to provide, but you're really not part of the team. Or maybe you are actively participating in the church, but your participation could have a stronger level as we have little time left, don't you believe? I mean, what we're going to do, we better do now, don't you think? I do. So this is teamwork. Now look at verse 2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." You could guess what the key word there, of course, is going to be. It's going to be prayer. But I want you to understand, as you study 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you see that the prayer is more about, it's not just about us bringing our petitions and our requests to God, but it was prayer where there's a communication with God and a direction given, and more about God talking to us than us talking to Him. The Apostle Paul, even in talking about going to Macedonia, in Acts chapter 16, he said, "We have assuredly gathered that we are supposed to go there." It's God speaking and confirming in his life. You need direction in your life. You need wisdom for these last days. You need wisdom to know how to make sure your life is counting and making an impact while we have time to do that. It's going to be in knowing God personally. Amen? Amen. By the way, they didn't exactly tell me when to finish this message, so the more amens I get, the faster it goes. Amen? There you go. That way I know you got it. All right? So not only teamwork, but prayer. All right? And more than just bringing our requests, although we are a needy people. Amen? I mean, we need God's help. But it's more than that. We need to hear from God. All right, the Thessalonians in verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Well, there's several things here. I put a few blanks there. We want you to know, in part of this teamwork with the Lord at this church, in God's work, it takes work. It takes labor. And you know what? When you get involved in teamwork with this church, let me tell you, it's a spiritual work, and that means you get closer to the front line of the spiritual warfare that's been going on for thousands of years. And it can be hard, but it's a labor of love for the Lord and for this church and for souls of men, women, and children. It's a work of faith, knowing that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's a work of hope, in knowing not the hope, the kind of thing where I hope this works out, but it's the hope knowing that there will be results from what we do as we are faithful. And then that verse said, it said, "in the sight of God," so there is accountability. See, that's one thing. If you're a believer here today, we will give an account for our lives. Amen. If you're a full-time minister, you give a double account. We have to account for our lives, and we have to account for our ministry. If you're not a believer here today, you're going to give an account for your life, but you're also going to have to pay for your own sins unless you accept Christ as your Savior. And when we meet the Lord as believers and we give an account for our life, everything, every joy, everything we've done for Him, He will tell us, "Well, good, thou good and faithful servant." I mean, that's what we want Him to say. Amen. If we want to do that, let's look at the Thessalonians. So they got a lot of things going in this verse that are principles here. Now, verse 4, he says, knowing, brethren means, you know, they're in the family of God there. Beloved, your election of God. So he's talking about they received salvation. They became saved. They received the message of the gospel and became believers in Jesus Christ. That's what that verse is talking about. where he's referring to them that they heard this message and they received it and joined in God's family. You know, I'm not so sure we always properly think about that like we should, right? I mean, to be a child of God. We just have to meditate and think about that and rejoice in it. And it's we're reminded about it constantly. Look at verse 5. He says your salvation is because, verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So simply here, what did Paul do? What did he bring to them? He brought the gospel to them. Now the gospel is the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he calls upon everyone to trust him for eternal life, surrendering your life to him. And when we do that, you're saved. You're saved from a life of meaninglessness, of insignificanceness. You know, nothing, your life not amounting to anything, but a life that means something and counts for something. And then you have the opportunity to invest in eternity. And here in this verse, the gospel is associated with the Holy Spirit's work. So now you've got the entire Trinity in this chapter. You got the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the Holy Spirit. This is just 10 verses in this chapter, but it deserves us looking at it and following it. So what did the Apostle Paul do? He brought the gospel. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to take the gospel. Now we get assignments. Our family got an assignment to head to the Philippines. I've been a youth pastor and a pastor in Florida, and we went to Puerto Rico to help a church start, and my wife and I just knew there that the Lord wanted us overseas, and later on he would refocus it to where he wanted us in the Philippines, and then there's been different places he's had us work, and we just thank God for that. The most important thing to do, most important thing for us to do as believers is just to get our assignment and follow it and work it in a labor of love while we have time. And the Thessalonians did that. Look at verse 6. He said, they brought the gospel to them. He said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. It was a lot of imprisonment, there were beatings, there were all kinds of things this church and the Apostle Paul and his team endured in bringing the gospel here. And the Thessalonians encountered those as well. So there's two key words here. They became followers of the Apostle Paul and of the Lord. So that's a disciple. The Lord uses people like you and me to bring the gospel to someone, and then once they receive the Lord, we are to take them and help them mature in their faith. Now, you are so fortunate in that you are at a church that if you want to grow in your faith, you want to grow in the Lord, you want to meet with someone personally or in a group, you have an opportunity to do that here. You just have to let the church know. And you, I hope you're not missing that opportunity. Now, understand that they endured affliction with joy. Now, I think those of you who are believers here today, we better get ready, right? It's been a great run in the United States when there were a lot of Christians here, when there were more Christians than there weren't Christians, and the leaders, the government. You have to remember the government, it can only enforce what they have determined is legal, not necessarily what's right and wrong. Only the Word of God can tell us what's right and wrong. And the more Christians there are, all of a sudden, the politicians and them will be trying to get our vote and even trying to sound like us maybe. And maybe they are one of us. The answer is to multiply disciples in our country, in your city, in your state, in our country, if you want a more stable country where we can serve God from. No wonder, the United States, 75-80% of the spreading of the gospel comes from our country. No wonder it's a target. So we can look at this Thessalonican church and understand that there is affliction in this spiritual war sometimes. difficulty, and we better get ready, unless we will multiply disciples like we should. That's the answer. Now look here at what the Lord said in John 15. He said, if you were of the world, speaking to his disciples, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's talking about a world system, or anyone that's following the world system has a hate for any follower of Jesus Christ. Hate. Okay? Hate. Why? Because there is a spiritual enemy of God. And if you're a believer, you're in God's family, and that enemy has a hatred for you. So don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. We just have to stay close to the Lord. The Lord also said, Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil that's in the world. So even though we like to, get going and get out of here, the Lord, as long as he wants us to be here, let's make it useful for him. Amen? Then look at verse 7. So he's speaking to these Thessalonican Christians. He says that you've followed the Lord, you've received the gospel, your salvation is secure. Now he says, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And an sample means a pattern to follow. Now, we're going to see in just a second what they did. But this is a duplication, that what the Apostle Paul was doing, now the Thessalonican believers started doing themselves. Those 21 churches that you helped us to start, late Sunday night there, almost Monday morning, about Monday morning. Very few of them would have church services on Sunday, but throughout the week and Saturday night. And you know what they're doing? They're singing praises to God. They're looking at God's word. They're being strengthened by God's word. They're spreading the gospel in the context of the rules they have to work in. They take up offerings and have helped other churches get started. You have duplicated what you're doing on the other side of the earth. Why do we do that? Well, we have a pattern here to follow. This is what the Lord wanted to be done, as we see the Thessalonians doing. It's what he still wants us to do today. So that's a duplication. But look at verse 8, because this is what they did. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I think that has a couple of things. First of all, that's a huge area that church spread the gospel over. But then the Apostle Paul is talking about among Christians that they heard about what the Thessalonican church was doing everywhere, all the way to Jerusalem or wherever Christians might be. They're talking about what they accomplished. Not only that, the Apostle Paul, I guess he realized outside of Thessalonica, maybe he went to a place to start to witness, and they said, people from Thessalonica have already been here. he stopped at station market you would stop at in those days, and he tried to witness to people, and they said, well, somebody took a piece of papyrus and wrote a gospel tract for me, and they're from Thessalonica, and look, that's what they got here. And so he didn't need to go back there because they were duplicating the very thing that he was doing. And that's what we're doing. In fact, the mission conference is all about that, duplicating the gospel preaching churches like you have here. Now, if you see this area, this is the area that they covered, 300 by 600 miles. There's a lot of mountainous areas on that map. And they didn't have transportation like we have today. They had some good Roman roads, but, it's not like a freeway. And, and yet that church spread the gospel over that whole area. So Paul says, I don't need to go back there. You covered it. Now, notice that he said that they sounded out the word. In fact, here's the words to write down. What's the principle there? Everyone must hear. We can't make anyone receive Christ as their Savior. If you're here today, you're not a believer, we can compel you, we can ask you to look at what Jesus Christ says, but it's a heart decision on your part. But we can try to make sure everyone hears, that everyone knows. And that's what he said. You sounded out the word of the Lord. Now, that also means that in their case, that they spoke it. They spoke the gospel to people. And I think that's a key statement. Now look at verse 9. He says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, first of all, I want to draw your attention to the fact that, or ask you the question, who are they that he's talking about here? Who are they that show that what the Apostle Paul and his team came in, that it really worked? That it worked so well that the Thessalonians turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God. Who is it that proved that that really happened to them? Well, it's the people that the Thessalonians reached. That there were believers all over that 300, 600 mile area that had turned their life to Christ. And that's a word, this is really what we want to get to. It's multiplication. So the Apostle Paul measured the real effectiveness of his work by what happened to the people that were reached by the people he first reached. You got that? I should probably put that on the screen. I don't think I could say that twice, though. He reached Thessalonians, and when they reached others, and the same change of life and turning to God took place, then the Apostle Paul confirmed, okay, you guys really got it. You got it. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Maybe you're a believer here today. Are there people that you've reached who've reached others? That's a measurement in the Thessalonican church. That's not easy, is it? Now, maybe you don't know how to reach someone, disciple them. Well, you're, like I said, you're fortunate. You can get that here in this church. Not every church can do that, but this church can. I hope you'll take advantage of that. And in verse 10, the last verse of the chapter, he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There is judgment coming, but if you receive Christ as your Savior, you have redemption from all of that. While we have time, we need to do what we can. Well, as I wrap up this message in the next chapter, I think a key verse for this whole book to me is where he writes to them and he says that he's thanking God for them because without ceasing, he thanks God for them because when you received the word of God, which is you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually also worketh in you that believe. What that says to me is that the Thessalonians took the word of God and they allowed it to take their life apart and put it back together in a proper order to be a follower of Christ. That they allowed the word of God to do that. We've got to do that today. Now, to me, one of the main things you need to know about this Thessalonican church is the Apostle Paul was only there 10 days. 10 days. That's why they're probably the first book to be written in the New Testament. The Thessalonians took it, believed it. They turned to God. They stopped serving idols, stopped serving themselves. That's the thing about religion today. Religion today is really everybody has their own religion. They kind of make God in their own image or what they hope God would be for the benefit of their life, right? Turn from that to the one and true living God. So in 10 days, this was accomplished. Will you study the Thessalonians a little more? Will you do that for me? I would appreciate it. So where does it begin? With the teamwork. It begins with Paul, Silas, and Timothy and the Church of Thessalonians and God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Today you could put any number of missionaries' names up there and Grace Church and the Trinity, and it's the same thing going on today. But the question is, are you part of that team? If you are part of the team, What can you do? What does the Holy Spirit want you to do? Maybe he wants you to do more. Maybe he wants you to go. Maybe it's an assignment for you. But it's a teamwork. It begins with that. So as I close this message, first of all, if you're not a believer, you're in a place where we can open the Word of God and you can see what God says. You can see what the Word of God says and what Jesus Christ has done for you. You can put your faith in Him and someone will help you from God's Word. It's not, this church can't save you. You can be baptized 20 times a year. It's not going to help you at all. Religion isn't going to save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and He offers a free gift of salvation when you surrender your life to Him. Or maybe you're attending Grace Church, but you really, your talents and all the things that you could be doing for God's work, and maybe you need some training, you're not a part of the church like you should be. Listen, don't waste any more time. We could do so much more together for God's work, and it is for Him and His glory if we will be a stronger team here at home. Maybe you need more training. Maybe you're ready to go. Then you just need to let the church know that you want to do that. Or maybe you want to give more and give by faith. I always make sure I tell people I don't get any commission for what you give, you know, from this message or anything, but I know that this church, as it becomes stronger, and then the gospel can go to more places and do more with so many more people. We have more churches to start. We have more people we want to reach. And it is a teamwork. And our assignment is to be there. And your assignment, as the majority of you, your assignment is to be here. And so God wants us to work together in reaching more people. Could we stand, please, with our heads bowed? And I just want to say a couple of things and pray and then give the service back to the pastor to close it as he would like to. But in just a moment, we have a time of invitation. And that invitation time is designed where you can respond. Because if you just think about it, or if it's just something you say, that's a good idea, but you don't act on it, make a move on it, or pray with someone about it, it's not the same thing. And so in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation for you to either receive Christ, or maybe you want to come and join and be a part of this church, or maybe you want have some other needs in your life, or God is working in your life, and you want to respond to that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Just something about that. The church, the choir was here at 7:30 this morning. These are comfortable chairs, the temperature in here. All of this is done so that as we teach the Bible, to give you an opportunity, undistracted, to respond to what God is saying in your heart. Would you like to do that today? Let me just pray. Then if God is working in your life, just come and we'll have some here to pray with you. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Help us to be and follow like those Thessalonican Christians. Help us to let your word just sink deep into our heart. If there's someone here today that is not a believer, has not put their trust in you, I pray that they will do that today. And thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as the piano plays, do you have a need this morning? Just step right out and come to the front. The pastor's here and others here. Would you want to do that? Just step right out. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and just allow those that God may be working in your heart. The most important thing to do is to follow His step, the next step that what He encourages you to do.